Carla Janos came out of the tunnel, blinking like a mole. She shook her head in wonder, still impressed by the scene that confronted her eyes. A temporary village had sprung up on the grassy bowl at the bottom of the caldera. At least 2 dozen large tents housing facilities for sleeping, cooking, and research were laid out in neat rows. Several helicopters were parked nearby. The area around the tents bustled with activity. Access to the Crystal City had been improved by drilling a tunnel and clearing away the rocky debris that was in the way. Cable snaked into the tunnel from gas-powered electrical generators. A steady stream of scientists and assistants was moving in and out of the city. Carla was elated and exhausted at the same time. The scientific crews had been working 24 hours a day on 3 shifts. Some, like Carla, had become so involved in their work that they had worked more than 1 shift. She tilted her chin back and gulped several breaths of fresh air. She couldn't be sure in the blue-gray light, but she thought she saw a speck sail over the rim and descend into the valley. As the speck neared, she could see that it was a large, colorful canopy with a human dangling below. It couldn't be. Hoping against hope, she walked away from the tents to a clear area and madly waved her baseball cap in the air. The paraglider had been descending in a spiral, but it turned in her direction, swooping in low and landed only yards away. Kurt Austin unbuckled himself from the harness and rolled up the canopy. He walked over with a grin on his face and said, "Good morning." "What are you doing here?" Carla asked with a combination of joy and awe. "I've come to take you to lunch." She glanced at her watch.
"It's 3 o'clock in the morning."
"It's lunchtime somewhere. I didn't come all this way to have my invitation rejected." She shook her head in disbelief.
"You're crazy."
Austin's blue eyes sparkled with amusement. "Insanity is part of the Numa job description." He took her hand. "As the old Sinatra song goes, come fly with me." She brushed a strand of blonde hair out of her eyes and brushed the dirt off her one-piece jumpsuit. "I've been working all night. I'm a mess."
"There's no dress code at the joint I have in mind," Austin said. "Come on."
The paraglider and its 2 passengers rose out of the caldera. Austin gave Carla some quick landing instructions, and he steered toward a relatively flat area on the rim. The landing was slightly rough, but not bad. Carla slipped out of the harness and went over to where a checkered red tablecloth was spread out on the ground, anchored at each corner with a rock. In the center of the tablecloth was a miniature vase with a wildflower in it, and a waste pack. Austin made a sweep of his hand. "Table with a view, mademoiselle." She shook her head.
"You are crazy, but in a very nice way."
Austin opened the pack and lined up several jars, cans, and bottles. "Courtesy of Captain Ivanov, Mosliak mushroom appetizer, beef tushanka, and red caviar on rye bread for dessert, all washed down with a good Georgian red wine." Austin opened the jars and cans and poured 2 glasses of wine. "Now that you had a chance to study things, what's your take on the Crystal City?"
"It will be decades of study before we know the whole story, but I think the city was built during the Stone Age, in the magma chamber after the volcano had been long dead."
"Why go underground?"
"The usual reasons. For defense or because of climate changes, they used mammoths for beasts of burden, which allowed them to move the cyclopean blocks."
"What happened to the inhabitants?"
"Climate changes could have dried up their ability to grow food. A polar shift could have caused a flood or earthquake that created the partial collapse of the chamber roof, giving the caldera its odd shape."
"Have you figured out how the mammoths managed to survive?"
"Sheer adaptability. As the food source diminished, they became smaller to adjust to the change in environment. They seem to have the capability to hibernate during the coldest part of the year."
He swept the island with his eyes.
"What next?"
"I'll spend a few weeks here and then head back to see Uncle Carl in Montana. I'll be coming to Washington next month to give a speech at the Smithsonian."
"That's good news. When you get to Washington, how about getting together for cocktails, dinner, and whatever?"
The smoky gray eyes gazed over the glass.
"I'm particularly intrigued over the whatever."
"Then it's a date." I think it's time to propose a toast. Ladies first. She only had to think about it for a second. To Uncle Carl. If he hadn't saved my grandfather, none of this would have been possible.
I'll drink to that. Without Uncle Carl, you would not have been possible.
She gave Austin a smile full of promise. Then in the light of the Arctic dusk, they raised their glasses high and toasted each other.